Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose.
You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey. That's right. On a Tuesday morning, it is Taz and the Moose with you on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227 is your number to call.
Attention, hotline fans.
There you go. Pete and Mike across the way. Bogus with your updates as we take it right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time, 6 Pacific. Let's hit the guest line, kick it off this hour. Baseball the theme early here on this Tuesday. Let's welcome aboard David Sampson, CBS Sports HQ, Major League Baseball analyst, former executive with the Marlins. Hey, David, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Dave, what's up? Hey,
my pleasure. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Dave, where do you fall? You know, Taz and I, we started the program, you know, interesting comments from the MLB commissioner, then a reaction from Tony Clark and the Players Association. David, where do you fall in terms of this free agency marketplace? Who's right?
You know, it's the ugly underside of the business of baseball. And for fans, we want it to be just entertainment, but at the end of the day, it's a business. And you've got an ownership group and a union group who are positioning themselves because there's so much negativity, and look what we're talking about during spring training. This is the conversation. That's the main problem. And where I come out is that we need to be doing and talking baseball and keep it on the field as much as possible.
Yeah.
No, I get, you know, I understand that, but I mean, if you look at the topic, and we'll get to baseball here, but I mean, the fact that Machado, Harper, Kimbrel, and Keuchel are all still out there, right? When you look at this scenario, is this a market adjustment by owners, or is this a case of some owners being cheap and not spending?
No, I think it's definitely the former. This is players who do not have an understanding of where they fit into the current market. They believe they fit in a place where the market used to be, and that they just have to adjust. And I've been talking about it publicly and privately to anyone who will listen on top of the mountainside, because the reason for Harper not being signed is he expected to get more than Stanton, and he's just not going to get it, and he's holding out hoping that an owner just caves, but I just don't think it's going to happen.
Interesting. Very interesting, Dave. What do you think the ultimate solution is, Dave, for this free agency mess?
So let's put it in other ways. Let's talk about you. If you're negotiating a contract and you want to get paid a certain amount, but your bosses at CBS Radio right. don't want to give it to you, what exactly are you going to do about that? You're going to look for another radio station, but if they won't give it to you, then eventually you're going to have to adjust your expectations for what you are worth and what you will get paid. And right now we're in that adjustment period where the players are adjusting to what the fact is. And the fact is they can't get a contract or the number of years. Let's talk about Kimbrel. He wanted 5 years. He wanted Jansen or Chapman, but it's not going to happen. So he's got to figure out if he's willing to take the 1 or 2 year deal and get back on the field.
All right. Now, you look at, say, what do you think the market is here? Where do you think we are with, you know, the two big position players, Machado? Where's the market right now for Machado?
You know, we've all read that the White Sox and the Padres are in on him. The Yankees would like to do a shorter-term deal with him, which I totally understand. And I don't think Machado hurt or helped himself with his comments during the playoffs about not hustling. And the fact is he's a great, great player, and he would be great on a lot of teams at the right price. And him going to San Diego just doesn't make sense. The White Sox offered him a very, very good deal. Let's say it was 8 years, $175 or $200 million. It's hard to turn your back on that. The question is, will he choose winning now, which would be a Yankees deal, a short-term Yankees deal, or does he want to maximize, get the most money he can? I still think Machado may secretly, quietly end up with the Yankees for a shorter deal.
Yeah, wow. And that's the interesting thing, David, because that seems to be the draw where the place that he desires to play or the team that's offering him the greatest financial package, because they're not one and the same.
Yeah, and I think we all go through that, right, with our in our work and in our life. Do you choose to go where the money is, or do you choose you know, happiness and a location that you want to be in. Very often in life, if you choose something just based on money, you're going to end up unhappy. And we've seen it with a lot of players who sign long-term deals in cities they don't want to be in, on teams they don't want to be on, and all of a sudden they're demanding trades or they're just miserable. And every player has to decide for himself what he wants to do.
We're talking to David Sampson, CBS Sports HQ Major League Baseball analyst. Dave, on the topic again of Machado, let me ask you from a fan perspective, I want to get your opinion, what you think maybe fans are thinking if you could get in the skull of fans, right? You mentioned the hustle comment, you know, what Machado said, that you don't think it's hurting him in the business end of it. From a fan perspective, he's on said team, a new team, whatever, it's Padres, Yankees, whoever. Do you think that's in the bulk of the fans' head that he said that? Because, you know, fans think different than the business side, as you know.
Of course. And from a fan standpoint, I don't know what Machado was thinking by saying that. I think, did he have a moment of honesty, or did he just, you know, when you're in front of the media every day, do you sometimes say things you wish you hadn't said?
True.
I've been there, so I get that.
True.
But when he signs with the team, that fan base is going to be happy, but he's going to have to earn it every single day, because when you sign a big contract, fans get jealous. They're looking to boo. You know, look at Stanton. The Yankee fans booed him when he would strike out, because he had the big contract, he was traded to the team, but players just have to get through that and earn the fans' love every single day.
You know, David, you know, to Harper here, and we know that Boris is looking to try and make every last dollar for him. You know, there was the reports over the weekend that they were rounding third base with the Philadelphia Phillies. We're sitting here on Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock Eastern time, and still no deal in place with the Philadelphia Phillies. I guess here for Harper, we know the teams that are reportedly in on him. It's not every team, obviously, and he's looking for a huge financial package. What do you think ends up being the deciding factor for Harper?
What it's always been when you're a Boris client, it's money. So that's an example of someone, when you choose an agent like Scott Boris, you know that it's not for the love of the game, it's for the love of money, and that's his right. And I respect him for it. He's a great player, and he's going to make a team better. But again, if I'm running the team, which I have run, it's very hard to explain to an owner that I'm going to bring in Bryce Harper for $35 or $40 million and that he's going to be that much better than a player I can get for $15 or $20 million or even $5 million. Is he an extra win, an extra two wins? Well, if I'm an owner, I'm saying that $20 or $25 million extra for that is the juice is not worth the squeeze. But he will end up signing somewhere because he's going to have to.
All right. If you had, before we move on and run around baseball here, if you had one of those players that you had a need at both spots, you could use both players and you had money to spend, what do you think the better investment is, Machado or Harper?
To me, it comes down to years. I want the shortest package possible, which is funny coming from a guy who gave Stanton 13 years. So I get that. But if I'm doing it now, I'm saying whoever will give me the smaller number of years, the smaller commitment, because being sustained great as a baseball player for 10 years is really hard. It's possible Stanton does it. You know, Scherzer's a great example of someone who's been good throughout a long-term deal, but there's way more examples of guys who don't perform over the course of a long deal. So I'm choosing length instead of name on the back of the jersey.
Well, one more last thing, Dave, on Harper. A quick question. You think he'll have a deal sooner rather than later? Like some feel, I think that it could happen by the end of the week, maybe with the Phils. You think there's a good chance of that?
Yeah, I mean, again, when you talk to players, when the cameras are off, for position players, spring training is a grind. And right now, Harper gets to not be in spring training. Would he rather be with his teammates? Would he rather be in the clubhouse? Probably. But at the end of the day, he knows that he only needs a couple of weeks to get ready for the season. For Keuchel and for Kimbrel, it's a little bit harder. You need, for a bullpen guy, you've got to stretch your arm out and then go back-to-back to be ready for the season. And for a starter, you've got to get your pitches up to 100 by opening week. So those guys have to get going way faster than the position players.
All right, we're talking to David Sampson, CBS Sports HQ, Major League Baseball analyst, former executive with the Marlins. You know, David, away from Machado and Harper here, and you know Brody Van Wagenen, right? You look at the scenario now here with the Mets, and not just the job that he's done so far as GM. How do you handle here Jacob DeGrom, who is, you know, after arbitration due to make $17 million? You represented him, Brody did. He wants a long-term deal. He's 30 years of age. You still got 2 more years of control for DeGrom. How do you handle Jacob deGrom coming off the Cy Young Award if you're Brody Van Wagenen in the Mets?
Well, the first thing I'll tell you is this. The greatest line of the offseason was Brody saying, I'm going to recuse myself and not be involved in the deGrom extension. Well, of course that's not right, because if you're an owner or the GM, the Wilpon family, you're going to lean on your GM, because this guy knows deGrom, the truth about the player. Does anything hurt? What does he feel about the Mets? What does he feel about New York? What does he feel about his long-term prospects of pitching? Agents know this about players, and Brody can't unlearn that. So whether he says he's not going to get involved, believe me, he's involved. The second story I'll tell you is about John Henry. When he owned the Marlins, he was a small revenue, small market champion. Now that he owns the Red Sox, he's a large revenue, large market champion. Whatever side you're on, that's the side you play. Right now, Brody is on the GM side. He knows exactly what DeGrom wants, and his job is to not give it to him. That's why it's such an interesting negotiation.
I know. Do you think you think right now, do you think a deal gets done before opening day?
I do not. I think that it's going to be very difficult for them to come to an agreement, because DeGrom wants to, my guess is he wants to live in the Scherzer above Corbin. He wants to be Scherzer. He wants to be Greinke, and he deserves to be that if you look at just what the quality of his arm is. But the days of the Greinke deals, you know, the 7 years, $210 million, I just don't think you're doing that. As a matter of fact, I know you're not doing that for a 30-year-old pitcher, whether it's Jacob DeGrom or not.
All right.
The other thing is...
Go ahead. No, go ahead. The other thing.
Regression, right? Let's look at the Mets right now. They've got the best starting pitcher on the planet and the best closer on the planet. What are the chances that those two guys repeat their seasons? It's almost zero. So the Mets, while they're saying they're the best team in the East and Brody's talking about competing and winning the division, I have them as the most disappointing team of this coming season without Cespedes, who I don't think will play this year, if maybe at the end of the year, and you're going to get regression from players, and you've got an old Cano. I just think they're not in a position to compete against the Phillies and the Nationals.
Oh, Dave, I'm a Mets fan. You're killing me, dude. Come on.
Just tell me, as a Met fan, how can Edwin Diaz have as good a year this year as he had last year? How's it possible?
I just didn't want to hear you say that. That's all.
Taz is hopeful, David.
I'm delusional. That's all. I'm just delusional.
You're not
paying me enough to not say stuff.
I know. That's a good point. Good point. I agree.
Dave, when you look at that National League right now, as pitchers and catchers here have opened up, and we're getting inching closer and closer to games down in spring training. Where do you think the strength of the National League lies where?
I think it lies in the National League East. I think when you look at the Nationals and the Phillies and the Braves, and, you know, forget the Marlins and the Mets for a moment, but when you look at those three teams and with the unbalanced schedule, you're playing within the division so much, I think that you'll have a division winner and a wild card, maybe two wild cards come out of the NL East, and that's exciting for those cities. But I think that's where the strength is in the National League.
All right, how about over to the American League, and you look at that AL East, and we know the great rivalry between the Red Sox and the Yankees, but do you think the Yankees have done enough this offseason? And they've still got a big chip here with Machado, so that could also change things as well. But as it lays right now, do you think the Yankees have done enough to surpass the Red Sox in the AL East or no?
I do not. Even with the Red Sox not bringing Kimbrel back, you know, bullpen arms, as you know, aren't the same from year to year, as we just talked about with Diaz. The bottom line is the Yankees are built to get to October with that lineup, so they're going to get there. But I just don't think they're built to get through October, and they need more starters. You know, bringing Sabathia back, that feels good, but he's not CC Sabathia. He's a number four starter, maybe, a 4-5 starter now. And then, you know, you're hoping for Tanaka to stay healthy, but he's a good 2-3 starter.
Right.
Severino, if he can rebound, he's maybe a 2. So the Yankees do need, in my mind, more starting pitching. James Paxton, another guy, you're looking at regression. He had an unbelievable year last year. He's never put in the 200-inning season, as far as I can recall. So I'm very worried about the starting staff for the Yankees.
All right, when you look at that American League on the whole here, you know, the Astros, the Indians, you have the Red Sox here. What do you think right now, as camps are opening up and spring training, pitchers and catchers are reporting here, where do you think the strength of the American League lies, David?
I think the strength is in the AL East, because it's fun to watch when you've got the Red Sox and the Yankees in the same division getting to play each other 18 times. I think the division that I'm least interested in is the Central. The Indians win that division every year in spring training. What's cool is I think this year is not going to be as easy for them. I don't think they're as good. They've lost some players, and I think the Twins made some pretty good signings, and they were a good team 2 years ago and had an off year, and they may grow and possibly compete. The White Sox, I think, are a ways away. So I think the AL Central is semi-interesting, maybe, but of course the AL East, you know, we get to watch that a lot, and that's fun to watch.
All right, David, last one here for me, man. Who signs first, Machado, Harper?
Boy, it's like the North going and the South going Zacks and Dr. Seuss. If you don't know it, look it up. It's the greatest Dr. Seuss story. These two guys, neither one wants to sign first, and no one's budging. Because if one of them signs, then the other one knows what he has to beat, and each of the players wants to beat the other. So I was secretly thinking that maybe they'll be the colluders, and they'll sign together. Because then it all comes out at the same time, and they can say, oh, I had no idea what the other one was going to sign for. But if you're going to make me choose, I think that Harper signs first, because I think Harper knows that he's got the $300 million on the table, and he's going to take it, and then Machado comes in under that.
You know, David, we'll close it out here. I want to get your thoughts on the news coming out of Giants camp that Bruce Bochy, this is going to be his final year as manager out in San Francisco with the Giants. A three-time winning World Series manager, one of the best in the game. Some people say combination of X's and O's and handling people and egos. There's not a better manager in the sport. You know, the impact of Bochy out there in San Francisco on baseball and the fact that this is his final year.
I think it's great that he announced it, and he didn't have to spend the whole season answering questions about it, and the front office didn't have to. The players didn't have to. They can honor him the way they want to honor him. When you win three rings, you are in quite a crowd. I think there's four or five managers, you know, Casey Stengel, Joe Torre, who have three or more rings, and he's a Hall of Famer. He's done a great job. But again, you need the players. Look what the Giants did last year. They're not going to be much better this year. He had a great team, and he made that great team greater. It's hard for a baseball manager to make a bad team good, but a manager can make a good team great, and that's what Bochy was really good at.
Yeah, well said. Hey, David, we appreciate the time this morning. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, and we'll chat again soon.
Thanks, Dave.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.
You got it. David Sampson, CBS Sports HQ, oh. Major League Baseball analyst. And Bochy will be a Hall of Famer when he's...
Great career.
Great manager.
No doubt, great man. Giant head.
Yes,
giant head.
Where's
massive. Yeah, there's an eight. I mean, New Era hats are going to have a hard time trying to replicate a hat like that for him. But, yeah, 8.25, wow. When you get above that 8, you are – it's disturbing, let's be honest.
Right.
But, yeah, just a great manager, despite the circumference of his head.
Right.
How about the cat in the hat, Dr. Seuss comment by David Sampson? That shocked me. I had a picture of his Dr. Seuss guy.
Why not? Isn't everyone a Dr. Seuss guy at some point in time
he's
in your life?
So all business Jones Sampson. I wouldn't picture him watching a cartoon or an illustration of anything.
How about this music?
Murray. I feel like I'm at the vape club.
No, this is great music.
Now you've been hitting home runs on the music. This one's men's immense, but you've been doing good.
No, stop. Yeah. You can't even be positive for 2 days in a row. Kyler Murray sending mixed signals to scouts. We'll get into that next. It's Taz and the Moose on a Tuesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, tomorrow night, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, CBS Sports Network presents back-to-back Big East matchups when Xavier meets Seton Hall, followed by the number 11 Marquette Golden Eagles battling Butler. Then at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, and don't miss the 6th-ranked Nevada Wolfpack take on San Diego State. So you got a triple header.
Yeah.
That's tomorrow night on the CBS Sports Network. We'll get into the latest surrounding Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray. But first, an update. Here's Bogish.
Moose, okay. Taz.
Hello.
Hello. Is this on? Still no signed contract for Bryce Harper or Manny Machado. The Phillies still assume to be the front runner for Harper, while the Padres reportedly have offers out to him and Machado. And then there are the White Sox still making a push for Manny as well. Angels owner Artie Moreno said yesterday they've had internal discussions about an extension for Mike Trout, but no formal talks yet with Trout and his agent. Trout is signed for this season and next, owed just more than $66 million. And this will be the final season for Giants manager Bruce Bochy. The future Hall of Famer turned 64 in April. Bochy and the Giants won 3 world titles in his 12 seasons so far. New number 3, Virginia, 64-58 win at number 20, Virginia Tech last night. The Cavaliers have won 6 of 8 in Blacksburg. Number 22, Wisconsin, fought off Illinois in Madison.
To the free throw line, kicks to Feliz off the left wing, in the lane, left it for Bishanishvili, shot blocked by Iverson, comes down to Davison with the sumo back. Here's Davison to the rim, layup good. Iverson starts it, Davison finishes, Badgers up 4.
That's Matt Lipe from Learfield IMG College. Brad Davison scored 18, Khalil Iverson had 16 in a 64-58 final over the Illini. Number 23, K-State, downed West Virginia in Morgantown, 65-51. The Wildcats maintain a 1-game lead on Kansas and Texas Tech atop the Big 12. Former Virginia Tech QB Josh Jackson has transferred to Maryland. He can play for the Terps this fall as a grad student and has 2 years of eligibility left. NFL teams can begin saddling players with franchise or transition tags today. March 5th is the deadline. The Jaguars exercised their $12 million option for next season on defensive end Calais Campbell yesterday, but the Cowboys declined their option on wideout Terrence Williams, so he is a free agent. To the NHL and the red-hot Boston Bruins.
Back of the net now, DeBrusque. He'll skate ahead, separates from Couture over the line, left side, into the left circle, sauced across, Krejci to the slot, fired, they score! Bring the belt to the Boston Bruins! Charlie McAvoy in overtime with the dagger!
Judge Surratt on Bruins Radio. Boston a 6-5 win in OT in San Jose for a 6-game win streak. Tampa Bay a 5-1 victory in Columbus. The Blackhawks held off the Senators 8-7. I'll leave now.
What's the worst food that you ever had thrown at you or threw at somebody? Like, you're in the food fight, any of you people. Anybody here? Anybody? Any kind of food?
No, I usually eat the food. I don't really throw it.
Yeah, I'm sure you've been in disputes, maybe at a restaurant or a deli.
No.
You know, maybe in a high school lunchroom.
I'm sorry.
I can't lie to you and say I've thrown food.
No, I appreciate the honesty. Andrew, you look like you've had maybe pizza thrown at you at times.
I don't remember having things thrown at me. I did have to eat sardines losing a bet, and that was terrible.
Well, it wasn't thrown at me.
I was
just reading something during the break about this could be the worst thing that could happen, like in a food fight. Or Miranda Lambert, you know, the country western singer. She dumped salad. She threw salad at a lady in an argument at a steakhouse in Nashville. That could be the worst thing as far as edible objects, food, that could happen to you is have someone throw salad in your face or dump salad on you because it's messy, the oil, the cucumbers, tomatoes, the croutons. There's a lot, the lettuce, maybe it's a chopped salad, could be a cheese involved, and bacon bits. And that's as opposed to someone just throws a T-bone at you. Or maybe a piece of meatloaf.
Yeah, I don't know.
These are the things I think about. I was looking at Andrew while I was doing his update. I'm thinking, I would love to throw a Caesar salad at this guy's face.
Oh, nice.
Like, badly.
Well, that's nice.
Hello.
That's just
what I was thinking.
I got you. Well, you've thrown food before, people?
No. Well, we used to have food fights when I was in high school in the cafeteria. It was like a regular thing on Thursdays.
No, be honest.
I'm not kidding. We'd all get in trouble. We used to have those hamburgers that were like in a bag of aluminum foil that were like cement. And we just throw them and take them out of the bags and throw them at each other.
Tremendous high school experience.
It was horrible. It was the football team usually and the basketball team. We didn't get along greatly. And at times we would, and the civilians would get in the middle of this, unfortunately. And that's what would happen. Yeah, it was a mess. It was always a mess. Always a problem.
Yeah.
Food fights. It was a big thing back in that era.
Well, you know,
people
were animals.
Well, we were animals. I don't know.
And that country music singer, what was her name?
Miranda Lambert. You don't know her? She's won Grammys, bro. She's big time
Jones.
I'm
sure she has.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan.
She sung The House That Built Me, I believe. Yeah, it's one of her big hits. She's 35 years old. Yeah, she's a two-time Grammy winner.
What's her reach?
Her reach? She's probably got an 81. She's boxing Larry Holmes now? What are you with? Larry Holmes, how's that? Oh, my God, I'm dating myself. Larry Holmes. Remember him?
How tall? What's her reach?
Yeah, I know. What's her reach? Yeah, no, two-time Grammy Joe. She used to be married to, I think she was married to the guy who is now either dating or going out or married to Gwen Stefani. What's his name? Another country western guy with the beard. Bearded Jones. Bearded
Earl
man.
Hershire.
Beardman. Beardman Jones.
I know who you're talking
What's
about.
What's his name?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Oh, just look at it. Just Google
it. Come on, bro. You don't know. You don't know the country?
No.
The guy was going out with Gwen. I'm going to have the research team do it.
Blake Shelton.
Oh, that's okay, it. There you go. I think Blake Shelton and this one here, Miranda Lambert, no relation to Jack, they were
all right.
An item. You're like, Moose, you're right. This is going far enough.
I mean, we're trying to search for names.
Moose is like, enough. I love you, dude. I'm going for these whole tangents.
Tobias?
I mean, honestly. And it's just like, you're like, enough. Stop.
No, no.
Stop.
Thanks very much.
What we
but the crux of the conversation was the salad.
I understand. Yes, you're probably right. I would think you know a salad is probably one of the worst.
Messy,
things.
You know.
Yeah, or hot fried food
that could
burn.
Lasagna.
Yep. Lasagna is another very messy thing to throw in someone's face.
Cherry pie. Yeah.
Cherry pie. Well, pie in the face isn't horrible. Okay, so. Went over everybody's head here.
No, I
so,
got
yeah,
it.
Okay, so anyway, yeah, so, yes. Yeah. Yes. But yeah, cherry pie. I mean, I think lasagna, yes. maybe like a la vodka.
We are on in the morning.
A pie, you know,
the children.
Maybe like a ziti, penny a la vodka.
Yeah.
Throwing at someone's back.
Kyler
head.
Murray.
Yeah, Kyler Murray. He's from Texas. They have barbecue down there. They're not eating much lasagna. They're doing more brisket. Ribs.
I got it. Yes. All the food you can properly barbecue.
Cornbread.
Yes.
Like, love all that stuff.
Yes. Collard greens. Beans. Coleslaw.
Peach cobblers.
Yes. Right.
Kyler Murray, you were saying?
Some spicy pickles.
Ooh. You have fried pickles?
Yeah. Yes. Very good.
Dude, they're so bad food, but they're so good.
I know.
Do you like them?
I haven't had them in a long time.
Oh, my God. No, me neither.
No, I don't have them on the regular.
Those are the things that you eat. And you're eating, you know, it's a great chance you're going to have a heart attack as you're eating them.
No, that's not true.
Dude, they're really
bad. No, that's like the Bloomin' Onion.
Well, that's
Bloomin' Onion's worse.
I like the fried pickles better, to be honest with you.
No, I'd say Bloomin' Onion better. But
you mentioned Kyler Murray.
Both terrible for you, yes.
They are.
I did. Yeah. Exactly right. We got a little sidetracked off the...
Well, the salad just jumped out.
Right. This is right. Animal House and Jim Belushi.
Or John.
Or John.
You're a little young.
You know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Yes, thank you.
Or for the bad guy, but a water cooler. I get corrected every day out here. I correct one actor. You're like, hey, you know what I meant. I get corrected every second. Well, I'm on the stand here with you. It's like, did he not have the right ERA, Taz? I'm like, oh, my God, Moose.
Wait, what?
You know what I mean. You're all over me. I say one correction on an actor. And you're like,
I didn't get offended.
You're
I said,
like, bro, you know what I mean?
You know what I meant. I
did
John Belushi. Yes, correct. Yes. Kyler Murray. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about Kyler Murray, the former Oklahoma quarterback and the Heisman Trophy winner, who is kind of, sent a mixed messages a little bit about the scouting combine that's coming up out in Indianapolis about what he will and what he will not do. And he is not. Fully committed to throwing in Indianapolis. Now, there have been some quarterbacks that have shown up at Indy and decided not to throw and decided to throw at their pro day. Okay, that's fine. In a more comfortable surrounding with receivers that they are comfortable with, going through a program that they're comfortable with that's set up by their coaches that they were coached by collegially. That's all well and good. However, if you're Murray, especially now with the baseball career and the Oakland Athletics hanging over a lot of NFL teams' heads, if you're in Indianapolis, this is a scenario where you know you've got a lot more to prove to the NFL than some other guys who are fully committed to the National Football League because you've already got baseball in your back pocket that you could always resort to. I know he said that he's fully committed to football. If you're fully committed to football, then why wouldn't you throw in Indianapolis?
Yeah. I think you're right. I think if you're Murray, you have to do everything you can in Indy at the combine to any doubters of anything, and it starts with the young man's something he can't control, and that's how tall he is. So that right there. So he's got to make everything else and prove to everybody how great he is in all those other facets. No matter if it's his speed, his vertical jumping ability, his strength, laying on a bench press with 225 pounds. 40, throwing the football, whatever it may be. I feel if I'm Kyler Murray's dad or his agent or his mom or something, whoever he respects and listens to, I would give him that advice. You got to do it all. I just really believe he does because there's a lot of doubters just because of the thing he can't control, and that's how tall he is. And we'll find out that, too, at the combine. You know, he's listed at 5'10", as you know. We've talked about this a lot. And there's a reason why we talk about it. A lot of folks talk about it because it's a legitimate talking point. yet for somebody with his, you know, with his lack of height, he's a, as you know, he's a great, great player. He's a great athlete. And he's actually, you know, he actually can throw from the pocket. We've talked about this. He's not just, he's not, he's looked at as a running quarterback. He actually throws really well. And I know you and I have delved into this a lot. So I do think, why not throw? Show how great you are as a passer. He makes all the throws. Dude, he's a tremendous passer, as you know.
Oh, no, and he's got a great arm. And, you know, we've had guys on that have said that if Kyler Murray was 6'2", 6'3", undoubtedly he'd be the best overall prospect in this draft class based on everything else that comes along with it. Reportedly, a couple years ago at Oklahoma, he ran a 4.3 40, which is ridiculous. No quarterback at the scouting combine has run that. But also, he's not your prototypical size. Be very difficult for a guy that's 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", to all of a sudden that's playing quarterback to be throwing out and rolling a 4.3 40. But, you know, that would be a modern marvel when you think about
it's
it.
Josh Allen, bro. I'll be up in Buffalo. It's my guy. Yeah. Well, not a 4.3, but he's pretty fast. But
he is quick, but I'm, you know, sarcastic. The point that I'm saying. But for Murray, he's an unbelievable athlete. Now, he was asked the question, you know, are you tired about it? The questions about your height? Let's take a listen.
People are going to say what they want to say. I don't get where the whole, like, 5'8", like, all that stuff. I don't understand that. But I've heard some wild stuff over the past month. But at the end of the day, it's all fun. Pretty used to it by now. So, you know, like I said, we'll see. You know, combine is next week. And we'll see where, you know, how much I weigh, how big my hand is, how tall I am. We'll see all that.
Well, I mean, how is it, if there's wild stuff that's being said that's not truthful, how is that all fun? I mean, that's got to be, I think the response there would be, I mean, it's frustrating, no? I mean, if someone's saying I'm something and I'm not, if someone's saying you're 5'7", 5'8", and clearly, you know, Kyler Murray and his agents, they know his height. I mean, they know how much. Oh, then you just answer that question, and then that's not all in fun.
Well,
I mean, it would be more frustrating from my vantage point because people are speculating about what my true height is, and he could clearly come out and be like, listen, I'm 5'9 a quarter, I'm 5'9 a half. He knows how tall he is. I'm sure they've measured him at this stage. He's the, you know, he's the one that, you know, and Oklahoma listed him at 5'10", but as we've said before, you know, college teams are, whether it be basketball, lacrosse, football, I mean, guys are always going to be an inch or two taller
in
the media guide than they are actually in real life.
Yeah, no, you're right. As far as what he said, though, what Kyler Murray said, well, it's all fun or whatever, I'm paraphrasing what he said, but I get what you're saying, Moose, but you know why he's doing that. I mean, I really believe it's because he's being instructed, which I agree with. And like what we call in the wrestling business, he's no selling it. Like, so he's not selling the negative narrative on him. So he's playing it off, which he's got to do. He's got to do. He's a young guy too. You know, he's a star, and he's had a microphone and camera in his face probably since high school here and there. But he's still young. You know, he's still young, and he's still learning how to talk publicly as far as handling his business the right way with the negative spin. Listen, I could tell you as a former athlete that's 5'8", 5'9", and I was in a land of giants, I know how he feels and thinks a lot. And it's frustrating because you can't control what you're born with, and that's your height. He can control how fast he is. He can control how strong he is. He can control how disciplined he is. He can't control how tall he is or how long his arms are or how big his hands are.
Yeah.
That's frustrating. It is, especially when you're judged all the time. I used to look at it, and I'm sure he does the same thing. He's an amazing athlete. I looked at it like this, Moose, like, hey, I work within what I was born with, and I'm blessed to have that, and I try to maximize that. That's what I did as a wrestler, and I think Kyler Murray does that 10 times better than I did as a wrestler. I mean, he's a zillion times the athlete I'll ever be, and the guy's amazing, and I really think that he's probably embraced who he is, and he knows that, and he's just probably concerned, and rightfully so, that he's going to get judged heavily because he's probably going to come in measured at 5'9", maybe 5'9 and a quarter. I don't think he's 5'8". What do you think he's going to come in at?
No, probably 5'9 or 5'9.
5'9 and a quarter, yeah.
I think probably, you're right. Yeah, somewhere in that neighborhood.
So.
Yeah, between 5'9 and 5'10, I think he's probably what he'll come in at.
Yeah, you think I don't think 5'10. Oh, between, you're saying?
No, between 5'9
and a half.
Right. 5'9 and three quarters, whatever. Somewhere between 5'9 and 5'10.
It's all about that release point, arm length. Arm length is
something
key.
We've chatted about.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about limb size.
Yeah, yes. and that scouting combine getting even more coverage is going to be on ABC. So
right, there you go. ABC, so, huh?
Yeah,
the combine. It's always on the NFL Network.
It's going to be on ABC. There's especially.
Oh, well, heck, I don't know a TV guide now. What'd I do wrong?
No. I'm not.
Wait, last year was on ABC?
No. First year for it.
I didn't know that.
No, I know that.
There are some things I don't know.
No, I understand.
There are some things I don't know.
The first inductees for the WWE Hall of Fame class of 2019.
What's the matter now?
I'll explain to you during the break.
A run sheet? I don't know.
Ding.
Okay. Got it. My bad. I have a bad habit, you know. What I don't do. I don't want to let Mike know because he gets mad at me. Let's just leave that alone. You don't have to tell me during a break. I got it. Can't wait to combine. It's going to be on ABC.
No, but here's the funny thing.
There's something else.
It wasn't on the run sheet one day. It's been on the run sheet two different days.
My bad. There's always tomorrow.
Put it on a sheet tomorrow. I'll bet you that. I'll see.
That's right. That's good.
Oh, my bad. It happens. Can't always hit a home run, bro. Sometimes you hit a Texas leaguer. You know what I mean?
No, that was the funny thing. Was you're like, really? I'm like,
you're like, it's right there, black and white, bro. My bad.
No, it's all good. And it was part of the undercard 2 days ago.
How disappointed Mike is, though. This is the part that stinks. He looks so disappointed.
WWE. They had a big pay-per-view on Sunday night, but they also announced their first inductees to the WWE Hall of Fame class of 2019. We'll get into that next. Taz Moose on a Tuesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. If you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too, get it all right now at geico.com. So we're about 7 weeks out from WrestleMania. And that's going to be where we broadcast from in the tri-state area here. Where the event at MetLife and a week-long of celebration and events out at the Barclays Center at Taz in Brooklyn. And one of those events is going to be the latest induction ceremony for the WWE Hall of Fame. And the first inductees were announced yesterday by the WWE. And that is D-Generation X.
Yes, correct. The faction known as DX, the first class, as you said, WWE Hall of Fame for 2019. So yeah, it's for those that remember them. DX was a group of men and one woman in China that was just very rebellious and just
they're
wild.
Great.
They were awesome. They did some really really cool stuff during a time, in the mid to late 90s or early 2000s. Well, no, mid to late 90s probably was when it happened. Yeah. Where in that time in wrestling was a really awesome, cool time, very edgy time. That's like when ECW was around. I was in ECW, and we did edgy stuff. WWE was doing edgy stuff with, whatever, Steve Austin, and with DX. WCW was doing some edgy stuff. Everything was a little bit more non-PC,
Yep.
That's kind of how the world was, for the most part. But anyway, so DX goes in. That's Triple H, Shawn Michaels. That's Road Dogg, Billy Gunn. Road Dogg is Billy
Jesse
Gunn,
James.
Xbox, right? X-Pac, I should say, and China. So Shawn Michaels, this is he's a two-time. He went in as an individual, just like Ric Flair did, and Ric Flair was also inducted with the Four Horsemen. So fans have been waiting for a long time for China to be put into the Hall of Fame. So this is, she's not going in as an individual right now. She's going in with a group. I'm very happy for X-Pac. I know him for a lot of years, like way before. Early in my career, I knew Pac very well and good friends, so I'm very happy for him. Billy Gunn, another great, great, great guy. I know all these people, obviously. I will say, I'm not, Moose, like a huge fan of when groups get put in, like factions. I think it's okay to put the group in, but I think that, like in this case, all six of these people could be put in on their own merit. Just
Listen, I'm not. Yeah. You know, when that group gets announced, I thought they're put in as a group and also individually. It's just a group.
No, it's just a group. They go in as a group, but they all get their rings. It's just like a Hall of, you know, they all get
right,
like
they
a
all
ring.
Get a ring.
They all get. They're all inducted in a Hall. They're Hall of Famers. They
right,
are.
Right. Right. But
so I mean.
Aren't you technically in as an individual as well, even though it's a group?
Not really, because like I said, Ric Flair
went in twice.
Right. And now Shawn Michaels is going to go in
twice.
Well,
shouldn't China then go in individually as well?
I think so, yes. What she's done for the women's revolution before it was called the women's revolution, what she's done for women's wrestling was unbelievable, you know, years and years ago. I think the New Age Outlaws, which is Billy Gunn and Road Dogg, as a tag team should go in as a tag team.
Their intro was amazing.
Amazing, yeah, amazing. No, great stuff. I mean, this was you know, obviously Triple H, you know, he's, you know, a big time executive in the company,
yeah.
But still, you can't, you know, discredit what he's done as a
oh,
performer,
no, not,
as a wrestler.
But they
no,
should,
no, no, no,
I mean, I look at that in, you know, in terms of defining an era, you know, in the WWE. I mean, that group helped define an era. And they were kind of the leading force to helping define that era, along with, you know, The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin and,
well,
and you know, and that group. I, you know, but
it's tough for me. Hold on. I have to say, because I was, like, that's, what you're saying is, it's true, but like for me as an ECW original,
I'm just talking about the WWE.
No, I'm just like, you know, like the way that the wrestling fans, there's this dispute,
right?
Because like what we did, we as a group, as a unit, ECW, we were like really rebellious, we kind of inspired these. I'm
not trying to insult what you guys did at the ECW in any way, shape, or form. I'm just talking about when you look at the WWE, what those guys
Absolutely.
Did individually.
No doubt.
I'm not saying that they didn't take from you guys what you guys were doing.
And I'm a little protective of that.
Right? Don't worry. Yeah, I'm not trying to throw shade at anything the ECW did.
No, I know that.
But my point being is that. They should all get honored individually as well.
Yes, yes. I agree.
It should not just be, oh, well, we're putting these people in as a group and that's it.
Yeah.
Like, they should all have their day individually, too. Because how does that exactly work, Taz? Like, because everyone has a speech. Do they all get to speak, or is that going to be Triple H speaking for everybody?
I don't know. It could be. I don't know. It could be that. I don't think it. I think that each of these people... Pac, Road Dogg, Gunn, obviously Shawn Michaels, and Triple H, they're all great speakers. So I think they'll all have their chance to say something. I mean, last night on Raw, Triple H opened up Raw and mentioned it. So by himself in the ring, but he was also doing some other stuff for the show. I would think that Triple H should be the first guy who speaks. The interesting thing is, I mean, Pete and I were talking about before the show, who inducts them? You know, that's the thing.
That's
who's going to induct him? So that's interesting. Some people, too, some real hardcore wrestling fans, you might remember this, Moose, you might have been following a lot. If you remember the late, great Rick Rude.
Yes, okay, Rick Rude.
Right,
yeah.
He was with DX very early on, but I don't believe he was with them that long. I don't think it was that long, so I think that's why he's not included this. But Rick Rude, I don't know if Rick Rude's in the Hall of Fame. He's probably...
He went in a couple years ago.
He did go in a couple years. He well-deserved. Yeah. Rick Rude was... I knew Rick when he came to ECW for a little while. Was just and he was an amazing performer, amazing athlete. Regardless... I don't know. It's interesting to see who. Some people would think that Vince McMahon would induct them. I don't think so. I've been to these Hall of Fames when I was working for the company. Vince stays behind the scenes in the production area. I don't remember if we've ever seen him on a Hall of Fame. I don't think we might not have seen. I don't remember. Have we? Okay, he inducted Trump.
Yeah, he's been out there a couple times.
Was I there then? What year was that? Do you remember? I don't even, Mike's laughing.
Was
I there? I don't even remember if I was there. Dude,
Pete,
I would sit in the audience.
The wrestling historian.
No, but bro, you know why? When I was there and I was in the audience, right? It was just, you know, I was part of the audience. I really didn't, you know, I paid attention. It was like, I was just worried about how to do the next day in WrestleMania. I was just worried about, you know, what I had to do.
Well, I mean.
You know, man, I'm locked in, bro. I'm focused.
Well, you should be the next one up.
I don't know.
You should be.
Oh, come on.
It's in Brooklyn. You should be.
Yeah,
you should be the next announcer. Oh, you deserve it.
I don't know, bro.
You deserve it.
I don't know.
You should be the next guy up.
Would you induct me?
Would you allow me to?
Yes.
Nope. Would you allow me to?
Well,
I'll give a speech.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.